in verse 174. Om Sahana Bhavatu, Sahana Punaktu, Sahaviryam Karavavahai, Tejasvinavati Tamastu Mavidvishavahai. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Indrajalam Idam Dvaitam, Indrajalam Idam Dvaitam, Achintya Rachanat Rachanatvataha, Achintya Rachanatvataha, Itya Vismarato Hanihi, Itya Vismarato Hanihi, Kava Praradha Bhogataha, Kava Praradha Bhogataha. Indrajalam means magic. Let me do the sentence. Indrajalam idam dvaitam achintya rachanatvataha iti avismaratha hanihi kava prarabdha bhogataha. It says idam dvaitam, this duality, whether we're looking, if you remember from the previous verses, whether the duality is in reference to the dream state, or this duality, this creation, this duality is magic. It's Indrajalam. It's magic. Why? Why does he say it's magic? Achintya rachanat atvataha. Because of it being, that tvataha means, because of it being this creation, the rachana, the manifestation of this creation is achintya. It's inconceivable. It's unthinkable. You can't possibly imagine how such a thing can come into being. Such a kind of a infinitely intelligent manifestation, whether you say it's inert or intelligent or whatever you say about it. It's the infinity of this manifestation, the order that's involved is something that's achintya means you can't possibly conceive of it. And so because it's inconceivable, he says it's Indrajalam. You have absolutely no idea how such a thing can happen. It's inconceivable. So he says, iti avismaratha. For somebody who doesn't forget this, avismarata means to forget. For somebody who's aware of this, doesn't forget it, that this is magic. Remember in the previous verses, they looked at the difference between the dream state and the waking state. And Vidyaranya said, you know, for a long time you just have to keep comparing these two states and noticing how similar they are. Once you notice how similar they are, this drashtanashta svabhava means it's everything in this creation is something that appears and disappears. It comes and it goes. There's nothing steady or stable in this creation. And its manifestation is something inconceivable. Both for the dream is inconceivable also. It's absolutely wild that such a thing can even take place. So if you hold the dream to the one side and the waking state to the other and compare the two, noticing how similar they are, this is the previous verse, as you continue to notice how similar they are, the attachment that you used to have for this waking state and for the objects of enjoyment in the waking state will change. It's not going to be as before. You know, it's just like your attachment to things. I think the good thing about the dream state is that we can look at it from a distance. We can look at it from the vantage point of the waking state. Now just imagine, because we have this vantage point and you have no illusions whatsoever that the dream is the dream and that it is this drashtanashta. Drashtanashta means it's seen, it disappears. Everything comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. It's just a magical manifestation. The whole dream itself projects and resolves, projects and resolves. Now imagine, now you are in the waking state and you're looking at a dream situation. You just woke up in the morning and you had this dream. And in the dream, something wonderful happened. Just wonderful. you were able to get something that you were extremely attached to, that you absolutely loved in the dream. Now you're in the waking state. It is hard for you to maintain that attachment for the object that you were attached to in the dream. It's hard for you from this vantage point to maintain the attachment to an object that you felt in the dream. See what I mean? Because now you know that's a dream, right? It's a dream reality. When you're within the dream reality and you take it all to be real, then that attachment has a different quality to it, right? It's a real attachment. Here, from the waking state, looking into the dream, it's hard to hang on to that attachment in the same way. Okay? Now, what is more difficult about this is that we're in the waking state and we wake up to this waking state as Indrajalam, very similar to the dream, but we're still in it. It's like this becomes, in a sense, a lucid dream. See what I mean? Because we're still in this dream. We still have a body, mind, sense organs. But we recognize the mityatva, the apparent nature of the dream, the dependent nature of the dream. We recognize at the same time that we're experiencing this wonderful manifest creation, we're also recognizing exactly what it is, the mityatva of it, the drashta nashta, everything in it comes and goes, comes and goes, comes and goes. It's an infinite manifestation of knowledge, but there's nothing here of substance to be found. Right? As we break apart the universe, any given object, we break it into infinite parts. You can never find the thing that's actually there. And any type of object that you're attached to is something that comes into being and goes out of being. That's the nature. That's the nature of the creation. It's not the fault of the creation. It's the nature of the creation. And so say this becomes like daylight to you. The mityatva becomes like daylight to you. That this manifestation, this creation, is Ishwara, is beautiful, is Indrajalam, it's magical, it's inconceivable. All of that is wonderful. But to then, on top of all of that, that's just appreciating Ishwara. But if I take this creation to be the source of my wholeness, the source of my ananda, where I believe that a given object is going to make me full, that's where the sukha-dukha, that's where the sorrow comes in. That's where all of the problems are rooted right there. And that ajnana that causes me to believe this, believe that this is the source of my well-being. I can believe this in terms of there being an empirical reality, a shared reality. I can believe in that. There is a shared reality. There is science. Right? There's things that we agree on. We share in Ishwara's reality. That's not the problem. The problem was what I ask of this shared reality. What I ask of this shared reality can be something that the shared reality, this creation, can't give me. And that is the problem. And so here, he's saying, for a person who doesn't forget what this is, that avismarata, if you don't forget what this actually is, this is Ishwara, it's mitya, it's similar to the dream, doesn't have any substance that's going to contribute to your wholeness. In fact, you are the substance of all of these names and forms that you perceive, and that substance is already there. Right? The substance of what you perceive is already present as your being. Right? So once you understand that, once you know it, it's not just understand, but once you know it, avismarataha, right, you're not forgetting it. For somebody who doesn't forget this, kahanihi, says, what is the harm? Prarabdha bhogataha. What is the harm? What's the harm in enjoying your prarabdha? This is really nice. This creation is here. It is Ishwara. It's an Indrajalam. It's a magic. It's a manifestation, infinite manifestation of knowledge. It's very similar to the dream. The creation is just a Swamiji will say it's a bigger joke. It lasts for a longer time. The dream is subjective within this creation. But neither one is more real than the other. in terms of its relationship to what actually is, which is the Atma. That being the case, here we are. This body, mind, sense organs enjoys the same order of reality as the rest of the creation. Just like in the dream character enjoys the same order of reality as the dream. And the dream is nice to use the dream. It's kind of an Achilles heel. It's a giveaway for what we're experiencing here. When you think about the dream, think like this. All of the characters in the dream, plus the dream scenery, all of them are part of one story. Right? That dream projection, every single part of it, every person, every point of identification, it's all part of one tapestry, of one story. That one story is of one unfoldment, and all are players in that one unfoldment. So from the standpoint of the dream, I'm the Ishwar of the dream. I'm the Lord of the dream. That story is manifest from me. From the standpoint of this creation, I, the Self, the Atma, am the Lord of the entire creation, the Atma, Brahman. Right? And this is my story, the story of the Self. This is the infinite manifestation of the Self. And it is one story, one very interrelated story of which your body, mind, sense organs are a part. And so this whole drama is unfolding and you're a player in it. But the thing is that the drama that's unfolding was not your creation as a jiva. You are in the drama. You are in the play which is unfolding. You are not the writer of the play from the standpoint of the jiva. You are in the play. And so that's really fun if you understand that you are part of something greater than yourself. You're an actor in something much greater than yourself. Great in terms of the body, mind, sense organs. And that thing of that scene of which you are a part is not away from you. Right? This infinite scene of the creation is your scene. Not the scene from the standpoint of the jiva. The body, mind, sense organs are part of the scene, are part of the creation. But this creation comes from your being. It is an expression of Brahman. It is natural to Brahman, natural to yourself. So this isn't some foreign entity. This is you. And it is unimaginably complex, infinite, you know, an infinite order that involves everything that is way beyond, that what it involves, the polar opposites that are way beyond anybody can even imagine. It's achintya, it's unimaginable. But that unimaginableness, which is true, unimaginable if you think at the infinite creation. But you know what? It's unimaginable even here. In terms of your own prarabdha, the complexity of everything that is involved in making a given moment come about, or everything that's involved just in making this planet, you know, that we're not all dead already. It's incredible when you really start to think about it. And so that gives a sense of wonder, right? It can give you a sense of tremendous wonder. The problem comes when you start trying to make this wonder, this unimaginably magical creation, do for you what it can't do. It can't make you whole. You already are whole. The wholeness is already a given. It's your very swarupa, it's your very nature. You can't put together a bunch of mithya parts that themselves don't have any essence apart from the whole which you already are, and then have them create wholeness for you, or create happiness for you. It's not possible. It's only going to give you illusory moments of emotional experiences. That's all. Mental experiences. Mental experiences include emotional experiences. It'll give you glimpses of different kinds of states of mind as you manipulate through the creation. Let me do this and let me do that so I can be happy. All you're going to be doing is creating states of mind, right? Mental states of mind that come and go. It's like the objects come and go, the mental states of mind come and go. And so that's what you go on experiencing. It's kind of the light show of your emotional and psychological mental manifestations that are going on. That's what you're going on creating in this creation. But what is stable, what is not coming and going, which is not a coming and going light show of emotional states, is the very being, the wholeness of your being that lights the whole thing up. The wholeness of your being that is the stable self, right, in which this light show of the creation takes place. The light show, sometimes I think of these emotional states as some sort of a flavorful light show. A light show of emotions, because the mind is very lit up, right? So sometimes sorrow is lit up, and then agitation is lit up, and happiness is lit up, bliss is lit up. All of these things are lit up, but they're all fluctuating. And so if you're experiencing all of this light show of emotional states, or light show of experiences through your sense perception, and have an objectivity to experiencing Ishvara, it's fine, no problem. No problem at all. Because your mind is situated in yourself, which is stable. And that ananda, that wholeness, is not coming and going. That's the jnani. So for the jnani that appreciating the mityatva of this, what is the harm of walking through using this upadhi, this body, mind, sense organs, to walk through this creation, live out my prarabdha, and experience it fully? It is the very reason this body took birth. You took the birth in order to experience the prarabdha, which will definitely take you through to your death, from birth to death. That's what the prarabdha is, right? And that's your little piece of Ishvara that, as a limited jiva, you're experiencing. You're experiencing, if you think of this infinite creation, you're experiencing this little piece of it through this upadhi, right? And so that experience is the part of the play, the part of the play which this jiva, right, is playing out. So you get to know this part of the play. It's a huge play. It's an infinite play. You get this part of it. And this part is going to unfold for you, and you have a body and mind and sense organs. You have this upadhi that can interact with it and respond. It's a miracle, you know. And so what is wrong with that? Why not? What harm will come of my engaging in this creation, true to my prarabdha, living out my prarabdha? What harm will come of that if I recognize this dvaita, this duality, as indrajalam, as the magic show that it is, the magic that it is, as the absolutely inconceivable mitya creation, manifestation of Ishvara that it is? If I walk around living out my prarabdha with that jnanam, knowing full well myself as the very, as the constant being, there's no harm done, no problem. People think, the notions he's trying to put to rest is that, especially in some yogic traditions, the idea is that if I gain knowledge or freedom, I have to really close down and remove myself from the world. If you think of, say, a great Mahatma or enlightened person, I don't know if you ever were blessed with this notion or not, but it's basically, you know, if you're enlightened, then you'll just be sitting in samadhi all the time. Yeah. And people will see you and maybe talk to you and maybe even feed you. Mm-hmm. No, serious. Open the mouth and put food in it. Right? It's true. And the Mahatma will just stay lost in samadhi. And from the Mahatma's point of view, there is no world, there is nothing. But the disciples are just keeping that person alive. That's going to be the notion, you know, of a Mahatma, of a wise person. Why would a wise person who still has an upadhi, who has body, mind, sense organs, all functioning perfectly fine, what would be the reason? What would be the reason to have to shut out the world like that? That's the point, you know. If you say, I don't have to shut it out, I just like to, fine. That's your prarabdha. You go ahead and just shut it out. But if it's, I have to shut out the world, because that's what jnanis do. Right? So in order for me to be a jnani, to have knowledge, I have to sit in this nirvikalpa samadhi, and I should never come out. If I never come out, then I'm a mahatma. If I come out, well, I still have work to do. That's a notion. So here, Vidyaranya is attacking that notion and says, what? Why? What harm is there? This is mitya, this body is mitya, the sense organs are mitya, the mind is mitya, the emotions are mitya, I am satyam. And that's never going to change. If I open my eyes or close my eyes, this is a nice little exercise. If you open your eyes, you see the room. You see all the color, you see all of the names and forms, the room is here. If you shut your eyes, absolutely nothing has happened to you, but the names and forms are not here. Right? Open, shut. Open, shut. In fact, there is absolutely nothing that has happened of any substance. The substance remains the same. Now, why would I have to have my eyes open or shut if nothing happens to me one way or the other? What difference does it make? So why can't, what harm is there in just simply enjoying and being engaged in whatever prarabdha is there? Why are you thinking that you have to run away from the world? That's the idea. So, now let's do the next verse. Nirbandhastattva-vidyayaha Nirbandhastattva-vidyayaha Indrajalatva-samsmritau Indrajalatva-samsmritau Prarabdhasyagraho-bhoge Prarabdhasyagraho-bhoge Jivasya-sukha-dukkayoho Jivasya sukha dukkayoho nirbandha tattva vidyayaha indra jalatva samsmitao prarabdhasya agraha bhoge jivasya sukha dukkayoho. He says the nirbandha, the commitment or the focus on the tattva vidyayaha, for the focus for knowledge of the truth, tattva-vidya, for the knowledge of the truth, has to do with that remembering that indrajalatvam. Remembering, it's not exactly like recall. It's in the sense of you have this knowledge, and here is this creation. What is this creation? What do you see? Are you lost in the samsara, or do you see it as Ishvara? If you see it as Ishvara, that's the indrajalatvam. This magic, this manifestation of infinite knowledge, that's what you see. You see Bhagavan, you see Ishvara. So for the, that is what is in focus for, or that's the commitment of this knowledge of the truth. Right? He's going to, what we're doing now is we're going to be comparing the prarabdha and knowledge. Tattva-jnanam. Tattva means the truth. Comparing the prarabdha and the knowledge, do they negate each other? In other words, this is this whole thread right now. If I'm living out my prarabdha, the karmas that caused me to take this birth, is that conflicting with my knowledge? Does the prarabdha somehow conflict with the knowledge? Or does the knowledge conflict with the prarabdha? Are they mutually in opposition to each other? Does one negate the other? Or can I... this is his question. It must have been an issue for him. The issue is this for him. Can I live my life as a, you know, as a jiva here with body, mind, sense organs, with my prarabdha? Can I live my life, engage in my prarabdha, and still be a jnani? Or do the two negate each other? That's his issue. So here he says the focus or what knowledge is intent on in terms of this creation is its indrajalatvam. means it's mityatva, the mitya. Everybody know what mitya means? The... I'm just going to review mitya, even though I've done it a billion times. We're going to review.
I like to hear it.
Yeah. If we say the creation is mitya, that means that all of the duality, dvaita, all that we experience, everything that exists within duality, all the names and forms, time, space, the five elements, space, air, fire, water, earth, everything that makes up this creation. Think of a dream. Everything that makes up the dream, all of the characters, everything. It has nothing in this creation has any independent being. The being that it enjoys is the stable self, is the Atma, is awareness itself. Just like if I use the wave, the ocean, the waves in the ocean, the waves in the ocean have no being themselves. Their truth is the water. Without the water, these forms don't exist. Rope, snake. Without the rope, there is no snake. The rope is the truth of it. So rope snake is a good example, good way to understand satyam mitya here. I am the satyam, I'm the rope. Conscious being is the rope. This is the snake, right? This is maya. This has no substance, no being apart from the self, from the Atma. Just like my imagination has no being apart from myself. The dream has no being, no substance apart from myself. And so that's why I can wake up from a dream and nothing happens to me. I can have an imagination. I've been taking a walk through the meadow. And then I can end the imagination and nothing happens to me. Nobody dies. Nobody is destroyed. There isn't the slightest change in what is actually there, which is the Atma. That's the Satya-Mitya relationship. So now I have to recognize here, what is the water? What is the wave? What is satyam? What is mitya? What's the rope? What's the snake? What never changes and enjoys absolutely no distance, no separation from what does change? The snake has no separation, no distance from the rope, but it has no being or reality either. Right? The only thing that's really there is the rope. Clay pot, only thing there, clay. Pot has no distance. It's not like the mitya's over here, the satyam's here. All there is the satyam, the reality. So I am the reality here. So now I need to be able to discern that. If I discern that, then that satyam mitya is lived. It is very clear to me. And so what is the focus for somebody who has knowledge? What is it that needs to be seen? This duality is Indrajala, is mitya. This duality that we experience is like magic. What does it mean, like magic? It's mitya. It has no substance. It has no being apart from me. I am its being. That is the vision of this knowledge. That is what needs to be seen. So now, then he says, what about for the prarabdha? What is preeminent? What is the most important thing about the prarabdha? So he says, prarabdhasya agraha, that which is the most important for the prarabdha karma, is this. Where is the focus for that? Bhoge. It's in the enjoyment, sukha dukkha yoho, of sukha and dukkha jivasya. It's in the enjoyment of happiness and sorrow, pleasure and pain for the jiva. That's what the prarabdha does. It creates a series of experiences. Sukha, dukkha are the two poles. There's a lot in between also, but we can say that this experience for the jivas, made up, which is brought about by punya and papa, means the results of your karmas, positive and negative from previous lifetimes, are going to now give you this prarabdha karma, which will give you a series of experiences made up of sukha, dukkha, sukha, dukkha, sukha, dukkha. That's prarabdha's job. Okay? And so here you are now, each one of us, living out our prarabdha of sukha, dukkha, sukha, dukkha, sukha, dukkha. Which means not that you have to experience it as sukha and dukkha, but it means that the experiences that life gives you are sometimes meant to are conducive to sukha, happiness, and some are conducive to dukkha, to unhappiness. Right? You may be somebody who just handles those positive and negative experiences more objectively, you know, but you're still having to handle them. Right? You're still enjoying them in a positive and a negative way. And you will, jnani or ajnani, the positive experiences are positive. The negative experiences are negative. It's not like you have a positive experience that would make any normal person happy. But you, because you're a jnani, remain mute. Absolutely not true.
I get happy.
You enjoy, you know, happiness and a sorrowful, you know, tragic experience. Also, you'll feel dukkha, but the dukkha-lesha, your mind doesn't build up on it, but it doesn't mean that you're rejoicing in an unhappy situation or that you're remaining neutral and dull in a happy situation. It means that in the happy and set difficult, then the positive and negative situations that definitely will come your way, right? You respond to them, but you're in responding to them, one thing is certain, that yourself remains exactly the same. Your mind responds, right? But yourself remains the same, because yourself is the one that illumines the response, right? The Atma illumines the response. It illumines the state of mind. That being so, because the mind always has one foot in terms of the self, it's always rooted in the Atma, the response, even for the sukha and the dukkha, is not very loaded. It's a mitya response. Right? It's a response, but the mityatva of the response is as the response is as mitya as the situation. So you're engaging in the mitya. See what I mean? Mitya, mitya. You're engaging in the mitya. The whole thing is mitya, which allows you to be a person. You know, to engage. And what difference does it make? It's not like yourself is becoming, even, I mean, experientially, yourself is solid. Yourself remains always the same. So why can't you be a human being? Why can't you be normal? And Swamiji is one of the most normal people I've ever met. Mm-hmm. He's frighteningly normal. You know? In the sense that there's a real person there who is with you, who's engaged with you, who's doing his best to handle all of the work that he's doing. He's doing his very best to do that. And at the same time, he's stable. And that's how you are too. That's the reality. That's the reality of who we are. So that being so, now with this in reference to this verse, he's just pointing out for the jnani, for this knowledge, what is primary is this mityatva, the satyam mitya. For the prarabdha, what is primary is giving you all these nice sukha and dukkha events, you know, which are because of your prior karmas. Now, so what about it? So he says, vidya, vidya rabde virudhete, vidyarabdhe virudhyete, napinna vishayat putaha, napinna vishayat putaha, janad birapyandrajala, janad birapyandrajala, vinodo drishate kalu, vinodo drishate kalu, vidya arabdhe virudhyete na bhinna vishyatvattaha janadbihi api indrajala vinodaha drishyate kalu. He says vidya, knowledge, and arabdha, same as prarabdha. Your knowledge and self-knowledge and prarabdha virudhyete na, they're not opposed to each other. They don't negate each other. He says, why? Vinna vishya tvattataha. Because they are different subject matters. They have different spheres. Prarabdha is dealing with one thing, knowledge is dealing with another. They don't conflict with each other. So he says, gives an example. He says, by those who know, say there's a group of people who are watching a magic show. He says, even by the Janadbihi, or Janadbihi, even by those who are knowing this is a magic show, even by them, Indrajala Vinodaha, the entertainment of magic, say if you're a magician, now you're watching a magician, he's doing magic tricks. So he's entertaining you with the magic tricks. Now you know it's magic. You know he's a magician, you know he's doing the magic tricks. But still, you enjoy it. That entertainment, the entertainment that the magician is doing, is something being experienced by you. You know it's a magic show. But just because you know it's a magic show doesn't mean you're not going to experience it. It doesn't disappear. That's why we say they're just apples and oranges. Here this creation is going on. Your prarabdha is going on. Now you gain self-knowledge. The creation continues to go on. The prarabdha continues to go on. The only difference is now you know it's a magic show. You understand. You understand that. But that isn't going to stop the prarabdha from unfolding, from going on. It's just that you're experiencing it all now, knowing what it is. Knowing the mityatva, knowing the ishwaratva of the whole thing. You're experiencing it. So what if the point is what? It's not that you gain knowledge. It's not that you gain knowledge and the magic show stops. No. You gain knowledge, and now as long as you have the body, mind, sense organs here, you gain knowledge and now you know it's a magic show. Or somebody else might be watching it and not realize that it's a magic show. Take it to be something else. Okay? But that's the only difference. It's not that the thing disappears on you. So he has more to explain. Let's do the next one. Jagat-satyatvamapadya. Prarabdham bhojayet yadi. Prarabdham bhojayet yadi. Tada virodhi vidyayaha. Tada virodhi vidyayaha. Bhogamatra nasatyata. Bhogamatra nasatyata. Jagat satyatvam apadya. Prarabdham bhojayet yadi. Tada virodhi vidyayaha bhogamatrat nasatyata. He says, prarabdham bhojayet yadi. He says, if the prarabdha karma were to cause you to enjoy jagat satyatvam apadya, having made the world, making the world become real. By making the world become real, satyam, by doing that, then the prarabdha makes you enjoy. But it can only make you enjoy or experience in this creation by making this world become real. If that were to be the case, tada virodhi vidyayaha, then it would be the opposite of knowledge. It would be opposed to knowledge, right? Because that means the prarabdha, how the prarabdha works. First, it has to make the world real for you, and then having made the world real, it can cause you to experience your prarabdha, to enjoy your prarabdha. First, to do that, it has to make the world real. If that were the case, then the prarabdha would be opposed to knowledge, right? Because knowledge makes the whole world mithya. So he says, if that were so, then it would be opposed to your knowledge. But then he says, bhogamatra nasatyata. But there is no reality just from merely enjoying. In other words, there's no reality that you're enjoying something Like enjoying a magic show doesn't make it real. So your enjoyment or your experience of this creation or your experience of sukha and dukkha, pleasurable events and sorrowful events, that says nothing about the reality. What about the dream? When you're in the dream, you know full well from this vanage point that that is mithya, it's not real. And yet you're in there experiencing sukha, dukkha, sukha, dukkha. The experience of your prarabdha karma or the experience of this creation is not a testament to its reality at all. Right? And so because of that, because your experience of this is not a testament to its reality, and that the prarabdha in no way stops you from seeing it as real, right? Going back to the magic show example, if I see a magic show, I know that it's a magic show. I know the illusion, and yet I appreciate the illusion, right? In order for me to experience or engage in or appreciate that illusion, I don't have to not see it or not experience it as real. Everybody see that? So he goes on. Let's do this one more. It's kind of a sip. Anu no jayate bhogaha. Anu no jayate bhogaha. Kalpitai swapna vastubihi. Kalpitai swapna vastubihi. Jagrid vastubirapyevam. Jagrid vastubirapyevam. Satyarabhoga ishyatam. Satyarabhoga ishyatam. Anunaha jayate bhogaha. Kalpitaihi swapna vastubihi. Jagrid vastubihi api evam. Asatyaihi bhogaha ishyatam. He says, enjoyments or experiences which are born are no less, the experiences that take place do not become anunaha, I mean, they don't become less, or they're not diminished by the fact that they are, what is being enjoyed are imaginary objects in the dream. Right? What is bringing about the bhoga, the enjoyment, are the dream objects, which are simply imagined. That doesn't make the experience become any less. Right? It's still offering the same type of enjoyment. So he says, Jagrad Vastubihi Api Evam. He says, in the same way, by these objects in the universe, Jagrad is the universe, by these objects in the universe, he says, which are asatya, which are not real, one should look at the enjoyment that we have here that is brought about by these objects in the universe is not real in the same way. In other words, the objects that you enjoy here and the enjoyment doesn't diminish the fact that the experience is being given to you. Right? The experience is there one way or the other. Whether you know it's real or whether you know it's mithya, you don't know it's mithya, the experience is still there being entertained by you. It's nice to look in the dream or in your imagination. The experience doesn't go away just because you know of the reality of the mithya. What you take their experience as mithya or as real. The experience is still there to be appreciated by you. Okay? Mm-hmm. Yadi vidya panuvita. Yadi vidya panuvita. Jagat prarabdha ghatini. Jagat prarabdha ghatini tadasyatna tu mayatva tadasyatna tu mayatva bodhena tad apannavaha bodhena tad apannavaha. Says to finish this off, says yadi I'm doing that.
Oh.
Yadi vidya apanuvita jagat prarabdha ghatini tada syat natu mayatva bodhena tad apanavaha. Says, if knowledge hides the world, you gain knowledge. What if you gain knowledge, and that knowledge, from the knowledge, it conceals the world? You know? If that were so, which it isn't, prarabdha gatinaha, that would be destructive to the prarabdha. If you gain knowledge and the world goes away, right? Which is like, for instance, if you gain knowledge of the rope, the snake goes away. Because it's subjective, right? You don't even see the snake anymore. What if you gain knowledge and the whole universe goes away? Right? But because this body, mind, sense organs, the one who's ignorant, is within this manifest creation, when this person gains knowledge, this world, this body, mind, sense organs, which is an empirical reality now, a shared reality, it's not something that your knowledge can make go away. But what the knowledge will do is make go away the subjective part, right? The subjective part of the ignorance, which causes you to take the world to be in a way that it isn't, which creates a lot of emotional havoc in the mind, right? And creates, takes you away from yourself as though. That all goes away. But the universe, which is not a creation of the jiva, it's not a creation of the individual, that doesn't go away, right? And so here, your knowledge isn't going to remove the universe. It's not going to remove the universe. It's not going to remove the power of the karma. If it removed the power of the karma, you would gain knowledge and drop dead. But the karma's over. Knowledge gets rid of the karma, right? Now it gets rid of the karma, you're finished. Knowledge doesn't do that. The prarabdha karma is already empirical in empirical reality. It's Ishvara. What happens is that the ignorance which is causing the subjective havoc, right, is what is removed, and that does go away, right? And so here it says, if knowledge were to cover over the universe, then that would be destructive to the prarabdha. Then it would be. But, he says, but that's not the case. Mayatva bodhena, by knowledge of the mityatva, the maya, knowing that this is maya, by that knowledge, this world isn't covered. It's just you recognize that it's maya. It's not that that maya goes away or the creation goes away. So because of that, the knowledge and the prarabdha are not adverse. They're not opposed to each other. One doesn't remove the other. There's apples and oranges. So it's your knowledge. You gain knowledge. And now as long as this, having knowledge, as long as this body remains in the world, as long as there's prarabdha to exhaust, you will be in this mithya creation, you know, appreciating it for what it is. And the mind will be recognizing and sitting in the stability of yourself. So the satya mithya is very clear. At the same time, the prarabdha goes on unfolding itself. And so then what is it like for jnani in this situation? Well, the jnani enjoys Ishvara and responds to the unfoldment of the prarabdha. The unfoldment of the prarabdha is you, in terms of body, mind, sense organs. That is your life. And so this life is something that's unfolding step by step, moment by moment by moment, and you are right in the middle of it, responding to it. Responding to it all the while, recognizing the satya nitya, and abiding as the stable self that you are. So that's the point. He's not even done yet. Now he's going to give some on this. He's going to give some a verse from the Brihadaranyaka, and then just go on kind of a different bent. But you know, actually, he sits in these things for a long time, but it really makes you understand. You know. What this knowledge is. He really teases these things apart. It's amazing. Panchadashi is a wonderful book for that. Let's stop there. Just take a moment. Purnamidah, Purnamidam, Purnat, Purnamudachyate, Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.